Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened here in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not find, they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true! The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread.
Well, thank you very much, Corrie, for that. And I hope you can keep that passage of scripture open in front of you. When I was a teenager, a couple in the church I was at the time suffered a terrible loss. And what it was that one of their daughters was tragically killed in a terrible road accident. She had been waiting to cross the road with her mother when a lorry mounted the pavement. And the couple were devastated. My dad went with the church minister to see them, and although the wife welcomed them in, the husband didn't want to see them. In fact, he walked out of the house into the back garden and stayed there until they'd left. His whole confidence in Jesus had been shattered. He didn't want to connect with the church anymore. He felt let down, dismayed and despondent. But some months later, something happened that changed him. He was doing something inside the house, moving things around, when by chance he came across a Bible that had fallen open, and he began to read it. I don't know the chapter or the verses he read, but something about the passage struck a chord with him. The words he read rekindled the flame of faith, and he was moved to return to Jesus, to return to the fellowship of believers, to return to the service of God. And that man went on to dedicate many years of his life to getting Bibles into parts of the world where Bibles are often difficult to find. Distressed, despondent, walking away, this man was turned by the word, given fresh faith, hope, and commitment to Jesus. That's the kind of thing we see happening in our Bible reading this morning. And that expression, turned by the word, would make a good heading for this section in Luke's Gospel. And I think it's a good heading for our sermon this morning. Let me just read the passage again and let's remind ourselves of what happened on that first Easter day. Now, on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." He said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he was going further. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us. It's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Well, here are two followers of Jesus walking away from Jerusalem. They're walking away from the place where their hopes had been raised by the one that they thought was going to be their great leader and champion, the Redeemer of Israel. Not long ago, Jerusalem had buzzed with anticipation about this man, this one who was a mighty prophet, mighty in word and deed before God and all the people. Jesus of Nazareth had the ring of truth about him, But the chief priests and the rulers of the people had handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. That's not what these men expected. Far from it. Hadn't their holy book spoken of victory and promised them freedom and peace? Wasn't their Messiah meant to be the great winner? But now Jesus, who had so captured their imagination at one time, was dead. And although some of the women amazed them with stories of angels, and although they remembered Jesus saying something about the third day, no one had seen him. There was nothing to wait for anymore. They were downcast and despondent. Jerusalem, which once had been a place of hope, was now a place of dread, a place of fear, of disappointment, of shame. And so with heads hanging low, they were off. But although this couple, like the man my parents knew all those years ago, had abandoned Jesus, Jesus had not abandoned them. Rather, he comes out after them on the road. He listens to what they have to say, and firmly, patiently, and graciously, he turns them around. And we find them at the end of this passage, getting up from their dinner table, wasting no time to be back out on the road. Even though it's now dark, or would be pretty soon, and they're heading back from whence they came, back to Jerusalem. 7 miles, I mean, it's 2.5, 3 hours walk, arriving in the middle of the night, seeking out their friends, but nothing is going to stop them now. So look, the lesson this morning is simple. If this couple, with so many fears and doubts and understandable disappointment, could be turned around, so can we. If Jesus came out after this pair and dealt with them patiently, firmly, graciously, so that even though they'd reached the place where they were going to stay, they get up at once and went back to the other disciples, the embryo church. Will that same Jesus not do the same for us when we're feeling low, downcast, disappointed, when our expectations are dashed, when in our minds and our hearts we are walking away? So let's see how Jesus did it then, and recognize how he will continue to do it for us today. 2 simple things. Firstly, he helped them to understand the Bible. They were turned by the written word. He helped them to understand the Bible. They were turned by the written word. You see, the explanation for that big stumbling block that had baffled them and those around them was in the Bible all the time. Look at what he says in verse 25. How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? Jesus, who could have simply opened their eyes to him straight away, chooses instead to open the Bible to them. Verse 27. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And it was thrilling. See how they described it in verse 32. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Seeing Jesus in all the scriptures. You see, look, if we read the Bible without seeing Jesus in it, in all of it, it will often be dull, a book of rules, moral lessons from a bygone age, a book of obscure history. But once we see Jesus in all the scriptures, then, like that couple, our hearts will burn within us. And here in what Jesus told them was the explanation for his suffering. Far from disqualifying him as the great chosen Messiah, they confirmed him as such. Now, we don't know which parts of the Bible Jesus might have gone to show that the Christ had to suffer these things that had baffled them and then enter his glory. But think, for example, about the story of Joseph and his nasty brothers. As a young boy, Joseph is promised a glorious future, where he will be greater than his whole family, even greater than his parents. And yet no sooner has he received that promise than he's actually hated by his brothers, dumped in a pit, sold into slavery, then thrown unjustly into prison. It's years before he was elevated. Joseph suffered much before he entered his glory. Or think of David, the shepherd boy, anointed by Samuel as the future king of Israel. And yet before that day comes, he lives as a fugitive, hounded by King Saul. David suffered many things before he entered his glory. There's a pattern there, isn't there? Far from disqualifying Jesus, his sufferings, the way in which he was tried, betrayed, crucified, buried, confirmed him as the Christ. He'd not come to redeem Israel from suffering, but through suffering. Understanding the Bible made sense of these things to those couple. Even baffling things became clearer to them. The same can be true for us today. Now, I realize it may not be massive things in your life that have gone wrong that have caused you to question and doubt and make you walk away in your head and heart. It may not be big questions of life that are affecting us. It may simply be the natural drift of our hearts, the fact that other things seem to grab more of our attention. But whatever it is, Jesus turns us around. Even day by day, he turns us around as we see him in all the scriptures, turned by the word. Our problem is, as it says here, that we are often foolish and slow of hearts to believe. But Jesus is patient and still today gives us time to learn of him. Can I encourage you in this? To see the value of reading and thinking over God's word. And as you do this, to read the scriptures that Jesus used that day. He didn't have the New Testament, did he? The Gospels and the letters and Revelation and so on. He was using the Old Testament. Too often today, people ignore the Old Testament. But these are the scriptures, Jesus says, that speak about him. Every story whispers his name. So, how did Jesus turn this couple? Firstly, he helped them to understand the Bible. They were turned by the word, by the written word. But secondly, he helped them to understand his closeness. They were turned by the presence of the living word. Look at that in verses 30 and 31. When they were at the table with them, when Jesus was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. Now, part of what is happening here is simply that they realize that this is Jesus. He is alive, risen from the dead. But the manner in which it happens, in the midst of a meal, at a time of closeness and fellowship, helps us to recognize that what turns us around when we're prone to wander is not only reading the written word, but the presence of the living word, of Jesus himself, that he is real, that he is alive, that he is present with his people. One of the distinctive things about the message of Jesus is that those who believe in him are promised a real living relationship with him. And Jesus demonstrated this by regularly eating and drinking with his followers. I was reminded of this in a very strange way some years ago. A young guy I knew had been on a Christian conference somewhere. And when he came back, I was chatting with him about it. And I said, "Did you go to any interesting seminars or lectures while you were there?" "Yes," he said. "I went to one which was entitled, Jesus Was a Fat Man." I said, "Hang on a minute. I can't remember any physical description of Jesus in the Gospels. Where did they get that idea from?" He said, "Well, He always seemed to be having meals with people and going to parties. Make of that what you like. But it is interesting that when the Apostle Peter looks back at this resurrection time, he says that Jesus was not seen by all the people, but, quote, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. It's just making the point, isn't it, that Jesus was in fellowship with people, present with them, real, alive relationship with him. And this relationship goes truly deep. Jesus, speaking to his disciples about the time after his death and resurrection, says this: on that day, you will realize that I am in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. And later he says this: if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The Bible speaks about the body of the Christian being the temple of the Holy Spirit and of Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's all that language of relationship. Jesus, real, alive, and present with his people. Turned by the presence of the living word. So on the road that day, two very despondent, disillusioned followers of Jesus. But Jesus comes out after them, and they're turned around by the written word and the presence of the living word, by the experience of his love and relationship with them. That same word, written and living, is there for us today. It's there to turn us from gloom to gladness, from fear to faith. Let's just pause for a moment and think about that. Is that what we need at the moment? Well, there's the answer. There's the provision. How will we be turned in our heads, in our hearts, the written and the living word? Are we making the use, or are we still foolish and slow of heart to believe? Are we being moved from fear to faith through what God has given us in the scriptures, in his Son? Let's ponder these things before we just read some words of a lovely hymn and then take the bread and cup together. Let's pause for a moment.